Thank you, Susan. Psalms 95 is one of the many verses or passages that tell us about being grateful. And so the next few weeks, of course, as we're going into Thanksgiving and celebrating and all of that, we're going to talk about the title or the topic, gratitude. And so as you think about that, that's one passage, Psalm 95, that you could look at again and again. It reminds us how great God is, how good He is. So can you think of a time when someone has given you something, small or big, or even they've given you their time, they've given you a listening ear, and it touched your heart so much that you were compelled to tell them thank you, or compelled to just kind of flowed out of you, and you just were so overwhelmed with gratitude. Many times, right? I can remember a time when, I can think of many times, but one of the times I thought of was Susan and I. We had a Jeep Cherokee that we were driving in Redding, California, and one day the tie rod went through the engine compartment, and we were stranded. And it was a time in our life that we didn't have any money. Like, that was our only car. We didn't have any money to fix it. And it was amazing to me how God provided, because we had a friend that we asked if we could use his car, and it was a CRX little Honda, and it was hard to get into, but I was grateful that we could use it for a whole month. And the other thing was, our church that we were going to had found and heard that we had a car that was broken and needed help, and we found out that we needed a whole new engine. That was like, rebuilt engine was $1,500, and the church graciously provided for that engine, and we were overwhelmed, just overwhelmed with gratitude. And I don't think we said thank you once or twice. I think we said it over and over again to them. It was just thank you, thank you, thank you. Our heart was so full of love and gratitude. The Bible reminds us to be grateful. And God tells us to show thanksgiving and to be grateful. And so when we realize all the times that we've been shown goodness and kindness and grace, we naturally feel grateful, right? We naturally have this feeling, but we don't always express it. It doesn't always come out. And when that happens, when we allow gratitude to be expressed, it actually can change our lives and it can change other people's lives. Do we express it? Like paying it forward. Through gratitude, we begin to appreciate goodness in life. We appreciate things that God gives us, grace. And it compels us to pay it forward. In fact, the cycle or how it kind of works is, gratitude creates within us a deep sense of happiness and satisfaction, which in turn benefits our relationships and helps make new friendships. And then over time, it can make a huge ripple in our communities. And so when I worked at Starbucks, there was that season where people were paying it forward, and I think people still do. But there was that time where I was in the window giving coffees out, and people started paying it forward. That person paid for the next person. And then the next person said, well, that was wonderful. I'm going to pay for the next person. For at least an hour, it continued over and over again. And they go through a lot of people in an hour. And so the the paying it forward, the gratitude that somebody had compelled them to show grace and show love to the next person. And so I'd like to make this statement. Gratitude can change the direction of your life and others. When you have this sense of gratitude and you express it, it changes you. It changes you and it can change people around you. So what is gratitude? What is it exactly? It's gratitude is the practice of actively remembering and expressing the grace, which is the benefits that we do not deserve, and the goodness given in our lives. Gratitude is the practice of actively remembering and expressing the grace and goodness given in our lives. That is gratitude. So it's easy to recognize God's grace when our greatest needs are met, when we have these wonderful big needs are met and God gives us those gifts. But when we receive a gift from somebody's generosity, but sometimes we miss the little things in life. And a lot of times we try and teach this in our kids and our grandkids, this being thankful, right? We try and teach them when they get a cookie at the grocery store to say thank you. Like we say, what do you say? Thank you. When the child gets a gift from a grandparent or a loved one, we remind them to say thank you. In fact, sometimes we try and encourage them to send a thank you card, right? To express that gratitude. And we ask that question, what do you say or what do you do in response to that? And in fact, some of the embarrassing moments of parenting is when our child is not thanking and not grateful, when they are ungrateful and when they are disrespectful. It comes out in different ways. And so sometimes that's embarrassing. And so we want our children to be grateful and to express it. And so sometimes we miss, all of us sometimes miss the little graces in life. Sometimes we take advantage of it. And we don't necessarily feel those or see those little graces all the time. And so we fail to recognize some of those. So practicing gratitude in our lives helps us to see God's grace in our lives. And it helps us to express it to others. When God hears our gratitude for His grace in our lives, when does that happen in your life? Does it happen at the dinner table? And is your thankful or gratitude just going through the motions? Or is it because of a sense of I am so grateful for what you have done or what has happened? Do you consider the grace? Do you take the time to consider it? Or do you repeat the same four lines every time that you pray at dinner time or at lunch or at night? So when we get up, do we say, as David said, thank you, God, for another morning with new mercies? Do we consider the blessing of having oxygen in our lungs? Do we consider the people that we have relationships with, and are we grateful for those? Do we consider that we have children or grandchildren that are in a sport, and we can go see them perform, and we can root them on? Are we thankful that we can have the energy to do that and the moments, the precious moments that we have with our kids or grandkids? We have an innate desire to show gratitude for the goodness and grace we receive, right? Someone gives us something, or someone tells us a nice thing, or someone listens to us, we want to thank them. The very first mention in the Bible of bringing an offering of thanksgiving is the scenario or the scene where Cain and Abel bring an offering to the Lord. Now, of course, there was a different response or a different expression that Cain had than Abel had. Cain did not do it with a pure heart. He was not grateful. He was in some sense trying to earn something, and so God knew his heart. Abel was the one that gave his first fruits of his crops as with a true heart of gratitude to God. And then, of course, the story ends bad with jealousy and anger, and Cain takes Abel's life. But the gratitude that Abel showed was a sincere outpouring, compelled to thank the Lord for what he had done for Abel, that he had given him these crops. The second person in the Bible that showed gratitude was Noah. That we know, I'm sure Adam and Eve were grateful. But in Scripture, we know that this is spelled out. And so in Genesis 8, it shows us that Noah expressed gratitude after the flood. I want you to look at Genesis 8, 15 through 20. So go ahead and turn there, and I'll read it to you. Genesis 8, 15 through 20. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it." So Noah came out, together with his sons and his wives and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. And taking some of all the clean animals and the clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offering on it. So after Noah had been in the ark for almost a year, he walks out of this big boat and Noah builds an altar to the Lord. He was grateful and he showed God how thankful he was that God saved his family. Think about the fact that Noah spent 365 days in that ark. And as he walks out of that ark, he makes a conscious decision that the very first thing that he would do was to say, "Thank you, Lord." Now, in the Eastern civilization, the ancient Eastern civilization, God had not given specific commandments regarding sacrifices and regarding worship. He hadn't done that yet. And it wasn't for another 1,000 years in Exodus 20 that you see that God spells it out. And he tells them what it looks like to give sacrifices and to give gratitude. And so Noah was this only family that in this evil society that chose to follow God. And so the offerings of sacrifices was not going on, other than we know later that there was pagan worship, and pagan worship, as you look forward into time, you see that the worshipers of Baal would sacrifice, and they would they would yell and scream and hurt themselves trying to appease the god or the gods. And they were trying to gain and receive good fortune. But Noah didn't offer a sacrifice out of the need to have good fortune. He didn't have this desire that he needed to make God happy or appease him. He offered this sacrifice out of a heart of gratitude. His natural desire after leaving that big wooden boat was to say sincerely, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my family." I mean, imagine for a moment you're one of the sons or one of the daughter-in-laws in the ark, and you're for a solid year, you're in this dark boat, you're experiencing this nasty stench, the smell of animals, and you're tossed around by these crazy winds and rain and waves. And when the ark finally anchors onto the top of the mountain and the door is opened, it's kind of like after 6 weeks of rain in Oregon, there's blue skies and green grass and green trees, and it's beautiful, right? And this family of eight walks out. What do you suppose they could have done first? Or if you were one of them, you could have maybe built a house, right? Gathered wood and started building a shelter, or maybe you thought of building a fire, or maybe you would have ran and kissed the ground, the solid ground, and said, "I am so grateful." Or maybe you rolled down the grassy hill, because I'm sure if they were on the mountain, it was up there. So, or would it be build an altar and say, thank you, Lord, for saving us? It's interesting that God responds. God responds to that gratitude in verse 21 of chapter 8. The Lord, it says, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." As the aroma of the sacrifice drifted up to the Lord, his heart was touched. And it kind of reminds me of how we are created in the image of God, and how when we smell a wonderful aroma of, the smoker has got some brisket on it, how wonderful that is. And we share it with friends. It is a beautiful thing. And God's heart was touched. And in turn, he said he would never curse the ground again. He blessed Noah. Now, blessing Noah was not a response because of Noah's good deeds. It wasn't because Noah did an excellent job at building that boat, or taking care of the animals in such a great way. It wasn't a blessing in response to necessarily obedience, although blessings do come from obedience. But in this story, we see Noah received his blessing because he chose to worship the Lord. He pleased the Lord because he was worshiping. What is worship? Worship is hearing God's truth and grace, experiencing his grace that is being revealed, and then it is our response to it. Worship is not just hearing, and it is not just experiencing God's grace. It is actually also our response to it. That's what worship is. And so Noah was having this moment, this experience with God, and he was worshiping God and thanking him with gratitude. It was overflowing out of his heart. Now, you've heard the word Eucharist, right? And if you go into a Catholic church, you'll hear this word, and it is the word for communion. And communion is the table of thanksgiving. Eucharist is actually the word for thanksgiving. It stems from the word charis, charis, which means grace. Eucharista. And charis is grace. And I told you last week, grace means a favor, it is an act of goodwill, it is loving kindness that is given to us that we do not deserve. That is what charis is. That is what grace is. So what is Eucharista? Or Eucharist? It is giving thanks to the Lord with pleasure and delight because we have received pleasure and delight from the Lord. Are you following me with this? Eucharist is thanksgiving, is gratitude towards God's grace. It is, in some ways, it is circular. It is in a response. It is worship. And so a lot of times we as humans, we have a response when someone does something nice to us, right? We want to bless them back. And that's in some ways similar. The Bible tells us that God does not desire a sacrifice for sacrifice's sake. Meaning, don't do it just because you need to do it or you're just going through the motions. Do it out of your heart because you love God. For instance, when you look at Psalm 51, 15 through 17, it's, of course, the psalmist is telling us, or telling himself as well, is to open his lips. Says, "Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken heart, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise." God desires a soft heart. He desires our praise and our humility and expressing gratitude more than a sacrifice. And so when we choose to practice gratitude, we are choosing God's grace, and then we're expressing it back to Him and to others. And so it's important to remember that gratitude, that the gratitude that we are talking about is much more than just saying thank you. And so it should be coming out of an outpouring of God's grace. It comes naturally. It should be, I want to just thank you because I just don't deserve this grace. And I just want to give back to you. I want to just flows because of your grace. In October 2020, there was a story like this where somebody who had experienced God's grace, who had experienced God's goodness, that he couldn't contain it and he just had to give it. He just had to express it. There was an officer who responded to a man threatening to commit suicide. And this person was ready to jump off a building. And when the officer arrived at the scene, the man on the ledge said, as you would typically experience when someone is in despair and depressed, The man said, "No one loves me. No one cares if I die. No one will miss me." And as the officer shared the story, it was clear that he said that the man, it was clear the man was in despair and ready to give up on life. And so the officer tried to talk him, they were trying to talk him off the ledge. But this specific officer realized that in that situation, it was getting worse and not better, and that the man on the ledge was ready to jump. And so as he witnessed this man's pain, he said what came up in him was this sense or this outpouring of, "I love this man. I care for this man." And so he was compelled to express that feeling of gratitude into grace and to save this man's life because he is loved and important. And as the man continued to vocalize his brokenness, I want you to hear, I have a 30-second clip of this. If we could play that.
Good, bro. You're good. Come on. You're good. Yo. You're good.
You're okay.
You're good. All right? You're
good.
Come on.
We're here for you.
Okay?
We're here.
No, I can't. Because I love you.
Right? He's right here.
He's right here. He's fine. Even though I don't know you, I love you, all right? We're here to help you.
1303 Alpha, stay housed and masked. That's 2119.
We're not going to hurt him.
1508 Well, as you may not have heard, I don't know, it was hard to hear, but he continued to say, "I love you. You are loved. You're not alone. Someone cares for you. I care for you." The officer said it repeatedly. And as you can see, the man just, his demeanor just changed. He actually, he released this tension and he just broke down into this officer's arms. And when the reporters asked the officer, why did you feel compelled or how did you feel towards this man that you didn't even know? Why did you express that? The officer replied, "I just felt I loved him even though I didn't even know him." And he said, "It broke my heart to see him feel so unloved. Because I am loved, I knew I loved him." Do you see that? That is what gratitude and for grace does, is when we are truly grateful, it changes us. It changes our perspective. It changes the outcome, the outpouring of our lives. We actually become people that are so grateful for God's grace that it becomes giving of that grace to others. And so as we share this, express this, it becomes expressed love into other people's lives. And so when we receive God's grace, it can become a natural thing and be expressed. We don't always know what the outcome will look like, but we can guess that it will be a ripple effect of God's grace into other people's lives and into the community and change our community. And of course, God's grace has to be received, right? It's a receiving, it's a grateful for it, and it's a giving. And so when we slow down and take the time to recognize God's grace in our life as believers, we will desire to give gratitude. And if God's graces are all around us and in us and working through us, then we naturally desire to show it. Show that grace. There's a ritual that happened in the Israelites' lives as they were stuck in slavery for 400 years in Egypt. And they cried and they poured out their hearts for God to deliver them. And God heard their cry. And And he told them, after he heard their cry, and after he told them, this is what you need to do, he gave them specific instructions. You need to put the blood over the doorpost, and tonight I will deliver you. And so, of course, the Lord passed over those doorposts with blood and saved those Israelites from the death of what was going to happen to the firstborn sons of Egypt, which was the last of the plagues. And then Pharaoh, of course, said, get out of here, leave, go worship your God, and I don't want any more to do with you. But God told the Israelites to do that, to leave, and that he would take care of them. And as they are leaving, God took care of the Egyptians, right? He took care of them. He destroyed them and saved the Israelites from that captivity for over 400 years. And so what did God say to them after that? He said, I want you to remember. I want you to remember this moment and continually be grateful for my salvation. In fact, in Exodus 12, we see that Moses is speaking on behalf of God, and he says, you must keep this command as a law for you and your descendants. Obey these instructions. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped the Lord. So why did God have them continue to observe the Passover feast? Well, I can tell you this, humans forget. We forget. God knows that nations repeat the same mistakes throughout history when they forget the lessons from their past. You and I have lived long enough to see that in our world. And with that lack of remembrance would lead to a lack of gratitude. And without gratitude toward the Lord for what he has done, their hearts would grow cold and hard. And then they would forget the Lord's salvation and then once again end up in slavery. You see the process? And so God, in his grace, he knew that the Israelites needed to remember what great thing he had done for them, and that they needed to have a festival, a feast called the Passover, to remember what he had done in their lives. Kind of sounds like Thanksgiving, right? We do that every year. We sit down, we have food, it's a feast, and we hopefully stop for a minute and say to one another, I am so thankful for this. It's a remembrance of what God has done for us. So practicing gratitude. Receiving and expressing God's grace changes our lives and others. In fact, gratitude is a virtue. It's one of the nine of the gifts of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, or gentleness, goodness, thankfulness, and self-control. But if you consider how those fruit of the Spirit kind of correlate with each other, they kind of all kind of connect. If you're thankful, if you're grateful and thankful, you're going to experience more love. If you're grateful, you're going to experience more peace. When you are thankful, you are going to experience more joy. You see how that works? It really kind of is foundational. In fact, Cicero, who was a philosopher a long time ago, said that gratitude was the mother of all the remaining virtues. It seemed to be a foundational thing. If you're grateful, then all these things pour out of that. Love, joy, peace. And recently in 2018, the Greater Good Science Journal did a research, and they found that humans express gratitude and receive gratitude, which comes from some of our surroundings, our biological roots and our history and the way that our brain functions and how we are developed as a child. And so they've seen this. Obviously, God puts His fingerprint down into His creation, and He wires us to be people who are grateful or want to express gratitude towards each other. But they found that it is in our culture, as well as it seems to be human nature, and they even see it in animals. In fact, they call that reciprocal altruism, which you've probably heard, but an animal will step in and help another animal because they have this reciprocal of benefiting life because they're helping this other life. Isn't that interesting? That animals do that, which means that God kind of ordained that to be this relationship where you get, you receive, and you give this thing called grace. Yours and my desire to express, to receive, and to give grace is God-given. But it also makes life better. It makes your life better. It makes our lives, it makes people's lives better. It changes people. I almost wanted to title this, Grace Changes Everything, but that's not necessarily, Jesus changes everything, but grace is that outpouring of it, isn't it? So in summary, very simply, three things. Accept God's grace. Number two, thank Him for His grace. Number three, offer that grace to others. Very simple. Our challenge this week is hopefully simple and sincere, and it'll be just for the next few weeks, is to take some time, and I'm going to give you a few minutes at the end of the service today, to take some time and to meditate and to consider what God has done for you. And to write it down. Maybe even verbalize it with somebody this week. Share it with others. That grace, that is unmerited kindness and generosity that God has given you. And to follow that up, identify some things in your life that you could extend that grace to others. Pretty simple, easy to say. I'm going to challenge all of us to do that. And so I'm going to put this song on that is all about God's goodness. God is so good. It's the simple song that we sang when we were kids. But I want you to take a few minutes to I have some sticky notes out there. You can use your bulletin. But I want you to write down some things that you are just so grateful for. And it's between you and God. And then I want to challenge you this week to tell others about how great God is. But just for the next few minutes, let's worship the Lord with this song, God is so good.